The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Fantasy Football Today. Yeah, we're recording on Thursday afternoon, but it feels like a Friday. At least to me, it does. And we welcome you to the show. I think we maybe should start doing top five Fridays with a random top five every week. And it came down to a few good candidates. I kind of wanted to do top five stadiums, but that one didn't win. So instead, top five 1 hour TV dramas today. In addition, your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com and your questions via Apple Podcast Review. What's going on, Dave, Heath, and Ben? Somebody talk.
Great hosting.
The weekend, baby.
Really good hosting. All of us can talk at the same time. That's perfect.
I thought you guys were all going to just be silent with me. I was hoping for it.
The time to be silent is after Adam making a joke, no matter how good or how bad the joke is. That's basically been what we've been doing for the last
somehow always
10 years
at
of this
Adam's
podcast.
Joke.
Well, you got to stop. And that way you give the old deadpan and it's funny.
Like, the whole top five stadiums thing really threw me off. Like, have you guys been to five NFL stadiums?
So yes. Nope. I asked someone to come on the show. I won't say who. I said, hey, any interest? Or what is your interest level of coming on our podcast this afternoon to give your top five NFL stadiums of all time? We're recording around 3:30. You can just do the stadium rankings and be done. And he wrote, none, off. So
sounds like someone who I should get a drink.
I've been to a few baseball stadiums. I went to Camden Yards. That was a very cool stadium.
Yes, that's a fun stadium.
I've been to a lot of baseball. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of them. I've been to
okay.
Dodgers,
so why couldn't the top
Angels
five stadiums include baseball?
Yeah, I didn't think it had to be just football stadiums. For the record,
it would be zero football stadiums in that case, because like baseball stadiums have character and are different and interesting.
You know, Heath, you live very, very close to one of the best football stadiums. Hard Rock Stadium is awesome now. It went from being the worst stadium I've ever been to, one of the worst, to one of the best stadiums I've ever been to.
What is your over-under for the number of times I am going to go to Hard Rock Stadium in my life?
One.
Well, the
half.
Fact that you didn't go for the Super Bowl when your team was playing there leads me to believe the over-under is like 0.5.
I'd put it at 0.5.
That's a great stadium, though. All right, guys, let's get started here. They did some renovations and it's really awesome. So you can go. Great. The Hall of Fame game is canceled. I don't think it means like they're not going to play the season or anything. Don't panic.
It's a good time for another over under. Like, if I set the over under on number of preseason games each team plays at 2.5? Would you take the over or the under right now?
I would take the under.
Yeah, I think they've pretty much been talking somewhat openly about playing two games.
Yeah.
So
that has a definite effect on the rookies, right?
Oh, yeah. It has a lot of effect on the depth. I mean, it's to me, this Hall of Fame game is so clearly exactly that, right? Like, it used to always just be all the deep teams and the people, the teams that the deep players and the teams that play them play five preseason games, right? So it's like, it's totally that 53rd to 90th man on the roster. And I don't even think they're at 90 man cutdowns at that point, or maybe they are, but you have all these really, you know, unknowns, and those guys aren't going to get any reps. They're not going to get any chance to make teams.
Well, or the teams might say, well, we know what we've got in our veterans. Let's let them rest, and we'll put our second and third stringers out there for the preseason games.
Maybe, but I think you want to be tuned up, you know?
I'm not sure. Each team's different. You know, like the Rams and the Bears last year didn't really play their starters very much. I don't think the Rams
played. Look how that worked out.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they were
Patrick Mahomes play in the preseason last year? I went to one game where he played, I think it was two series against the Steelers, and he was out of there. And maybe
the elite might not play.
Second quarter.
Yeah.
So maybe the veterans play one game and the third stringers play the other.
Yeah, look, you don't need it in college football. I don't know why you need four preseason games in the NFL. I think it's partially to get people to buy more. The season ticket holders have to buy the games, right? It's a scam.
That's it.
Right? Okay. Odell Beckham fully recovered from hip and groin surgery. He's a not controversial, but a polarizing player in fantasy. He played through the injury all season long, and he's 100% now. So I know we're a little split on Beckham here. Let's do some rankings. Let's do Odell Beckham, A.J. Brown, and Adam Thielen. How would you rank those three?
Beckham is a player that I am getting a lot more excited about and is somebody that I'm strongly questioning vis-a-vis A.J. Brown. And I have them actually 12-13 right now. I still have Brown ahead, and I still typically take Brown ahead of Beckham, but I can very much see the case for taking Beckham ahead of Brown, both from my favorite way of looking at it from the upside perspective and also, you know, floor and everything else. And I would take those two over Thielen.
I got Thielen at the top of the list in PPR. I think he'll get the most targets. And I have Brown next because I think he's got more upside than Odell.
Yeah, Thielen, Beckham, Brown. Somebody made the point on Twitter the other day, and I hadn't really thought about this, that Beckham's most likely to be in the role that we saw Stephon Diggs in last year.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's a pretty exciting role for a player with Odell Beckham's skill set. Like he can, the whole drop in targets thing, which is likely to happen, I think, with Stefanski, is not near as scary if he has a chance to average 17 yards per catch. And I think he does.
The issue is just that, you know, Diggs only saw 94 targets. If they're good and they run the ball and they control games and they have so many short and intermediate targets. You know, you think about it from the depth perspective that I always talk about, I think it fits as well. Landry and Hooper and Njoku is, you know, a little bit more of a field stretching tight end, but he's obviously not a huge piece. Kareem Hunt, all these guys are underneath options. And Landry's ADOT's been a little higher with the Browns for a couple of years, but certainly the addition of Hooper adds so much more to their short area depth that it's just hard to see Beckham seeing, you know, monster targets.
Well, just want to tell you what we have coming up for you next week. Five shows. I'm determined. We're going to do some top fives next week for sure. Dave came up with some really good ones, so they'll be on the schedule for next week. Hopefully Dave will be on next week. He might not be, but you'll get some combination, right? You will, by the way, we'll have an intro at some point that has Ben's name in it. I promise. I've been working on that for like a month and a half. I'm waiting on it. But Mock Draft Monday and then some top fives. Sign up for the newsletter, cbssports.com/newsletter. Stay up to date with fantasy football content all offseason long. News of the day, editorial pieces, updated rankings, and more. Go to cbssports.com/newsletter, and you'll see we have a bunch of newsletters that you can subscribe to. And obviously it's free, right to your inbox, and really good way to stay up to date. Big, big news today. Breaking news coming across the wire, ladies and gentlemen. It's Ben Gretsch's birthday. Happy birthday, Ben Gretsch.
Can we circle back to how random that was that you had to announce that? Because it's funny, you texted me the other day. Hey, man, I tried to get it going, you know, earlier this offseason. It hasn't worked out yet.
Oh, the intro thing?
To get you on the thing. But, like, I guess we've been getting listener emails about it or something.
Well, you're part of the team, and you deserve to be in the intro. I've tried to make that happen for a while. I'm waiting and waiting. It's going to happen. And, yes, people have asked me, hey, when are you going to get Ben's name in the email? So in the intro. So happy birthday, Ben. So here's the game we're going to play real quick. Ben played 18 holes today. Everybody guess what he shot.
Thursday. So everyone's going to hear this Friday. But yeah, it was my birthday yesterday. Don't wish me happy birthday. I'm old.
You're the youngest one on the show.
How many rounds of golf have you played in the last year?
This was my fifth round in 2020. And I always put the clubs away come August because football season. So it's been
Are we doing closest to without going over or just
closest to the pin? This is a good idea. Yeah, we even have the
but without going over.
Just closest to the pin.
I'm so bad at this. I'm gonna say an even 100.
I was gonna say 90.
I was going to say 97.
Oh, sorry, Ben.
Azer wins.
Yay,
I shot
you
a
suck
99 today. It was probably my worst score of my five rounds. One round was a scramble. Another one I shot 100, but at a U.S. Open course, Chambers Bay up here. But yeah, I didn't score very well at all. But I made two birdies and still shot a 99 somehow. It was a rough day.
That's sounds like a fun birthday. I hope you have a good time tonight, good time this weekend, and happy birthday, man. You'll be in the intro.
Heath, I appreciate the confidence with the 90, man. I wish I could have played better, and you could have been right.
You know, if you play 10 times a year and you're any good at all, I figure that's a good guess, and you might shoot a couple. Like 95 probably would have been a safer guess. But
my last full round where I didn't do a scramble, I shot a 93, so you would have won on that number.
Okay, now I have to Google what a scramble is. So let's read some emails real quick. We're going to do emails.
Yeah, a couple of eggs.
We're going to do emails now. Then we're going to do top five hour-long TV dramas. Then we're going to do more emails and your Apple Podcast questions. But let's get started. This is from Anthony. Hey, Peter, Ned, MJ, and Flash.
Oh, that's Spider-Man or something.
Okay.
Peter Parker and Mary Jane is the gal in Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
MJ?
Okay, well, whatever. I feel like Todd Gurley is coming in underrated this season. I don't understand why Melvin Gordon and Aaron Jones are going ahead of Todd Gurley. I know he was unproductive last year, but I think with the much better Falcons offensive line and a year off his bizarre injury will bring back some of his magic. Also, last year it was reported that the Falcons really wanted to run the ball a lot more, but it did not turn out well, maybe because of their running back talent in 2019. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's not really a bizarre injury. He has arthritis in his knee. It's a thing that will recur and continue to recur and probably shorten his career.
And I think Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley are like back-to-back in every draft, not always with Gordon going first. Like it's very, very close between those two.
Yeah. I was just going to add, it's not his injury is not dissimilar to what essentially pushed Jay Ajayi out of the league. And Jay Ajayi was, I think everyone thought, was a fairly talented running back. But he has a degenerative knee condition. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's the reality, right? I mean, I'm not overstating this.
He's on a team that, like, even with uneven talent at running back, it just pretty much always splits touches amongst their running backs. So
now,
I don't.
With all that being said, he was managed throughout last year, and he played most every game. I think he sat out one game last year. So I don't know if the injury concern is as big of a deal as the efficiency concern. Can he score 10 touchdowns in Atlanta? Let's start.
Excuse me.
Well, if you think he can score 10 touchdowns in Atlanta, then you've got to keep him on your radar as a top 15 type of fantasy running back. If you don't think he can do it, then I think you just stay away from him.
And he's being drafted close to the top 15, right?
He is. But yeah. Some of that has to do with the fact that there just aren't a lot of running backs that you can feel confident in as number two guys. And so people just kind of gravitate toward Gurley. They draft him and they cross their fingers.
I will say I can understand the pick. And as far as, you know, these guys that I typically don't love players and running backs in these range and this type of player, yada, yada, don't pay for pass production, all these things I've said. Atlanta's offense will score points. And it's going to be very concentrated. And they've typically always thrown to their backs a ton. I know Devonta Freeman has been a good pass-catching running back and a good route runner. But I think some of that goes back to the offense and goes back to the quarterback and goes back to the team passing volume. So I think Gurley should be able to rack up a decent number of receptions in this offense as well. I think they're fairly committed to him. They gave him a decent number guaranteed money. I think they gave him about $6 million guaranteed, even though he had some offset money from the Rams after his release.
Right about that. I think it might have been five, but
yeah. And he's, you know, a Georgia product. He's a local boy. Like, I don't think it would be wild if they're like, hey, this is our guy. We're going to let him be, you know, let him be the guy and really use him heavily because they just don't have a ton of depth. But Heath's right. I mean, we haven't seen that in Atlanta for a long time.
Okay. Next email, and thank you for the question, Anthony, is from Jacob Grant. Hey, Adam, Heath, Jamie, and Ben. Sorry, Dave, you are not allowed to answer this, apparently. Half point PPR redraft league. How big of a gap do you guys see between the top tier of receivers, excluding Michael Thomas, and the next tier? So how big of a gap between Devontae Adams, Julio Jones, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, for us, Chris Godwin, and the next tier?
About 50 fantasy points. Three points a week.
Well, that's pretty big.
In PPR, I mean, it's bigger in PPR, but for like, I have Adams and Julio about 50 points higher than that next tier.
So I have Hill and Adams in my second tier and then a gap down to Julio. I'm a little bit concerned about Julio's age and all those things, but I still think Julio's going to be very good this year. I have number four, but that's where my gap hits. And I like Hill and Adams quite a bit more than that next group. And that's why I have, you know, DJ Moore five. We were just talking about this. And again, this is PPR. I would say it's a pretty big gap.
And well, as, like, to illustrate how big the gap is, my difference between Chris Godwin and like number 25, Terry McLaurin, is about half of that.
Interesting.
All right, then. Next question from Matt. Dave, you really were allowed to answer, but that's okay. Dear Mike, Doug, Joe, and Ron, when you create your ranking, Mike, Doug, Joe, and Ron.
Mike, Doug, Joe, and Ron.
Are those
Doug Williams and Joe Theismann? Is that?
I was thinking Washington head coaches.
Oh.
Joe Gibbs and Ron Rivera.
Mike Shanahan.
Mike Shanahan.
Who's the Doug?
I don't know. Maybe it's Doug from the TV show Doug. When you create your rankings using projections, how much do the projected points have to drop for you to consider a player to be in a different tier? And I put these back to back because I thought they were kind of related. For example, two receivers with a 1 point difference would be the same tier. Two receivers with an 80 point difference would definitely be in different tiers. So, you know, the question is, how do you separate players into tiers based on their projected fantasy points? How many fantasy points have to be between them?
It's so dependent.
Yeah. It's an art, not a science.
Yep.
Best way to put it.
Okay.
A little bit. I think it just really comes down to what's your expectation for the player. And once you've got that for a player, you group them with other players who have the same type of expectation, maybe within, you know, 200 yards total, a touchdown here and there between players.
Like, there are players in my top five that are separated by more than 10 points that I have in the same tier. But in the 30s or 40s, if there's a 10-point gap, that's a definite tier mark off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and that's just considering the raw projection numbers. But I know, Heath, for you and especially for me, we also have to consider that this is a baseline projection and there are upside and downside. And sometimes they are not symmetrical factors that we have to consider. So sometimes you have a guy who doesn't project very well, but you might have him in a higher tier because you see scenarios where his upside is a lot higher. You just can't project that like in a baseline for his team.
All right, last question before we give you some TV talk. This is from Daniel in Indianapolis. Dear Marty, Wendy, Charlotte, and Jonah.
Ozark.
Will Ozark make the top five on anyone's list? We'll find out. Was wondering why the fantasy community was low, in my opinion, on Kenyon Drake. I know you guys have him around RB7 in PPR, RB11 in non-PPR. Fantasy Pros, half PPR, has him at RB10 after Jacobs and before Aaron Jones. I don't see why he can't be on the same level as Mixon, maybe even Dalvin Cook, especially with Hopkins spreading the field in Arizona and pulling guys out of the box. Your thoughts, guys, on Kenyon Drake? Are people too low on Kenyon Drake? I'm looking on NFC ADP. He's going 11th overall. So, no. Half PPR ADP on Fantasy Football Calculator. He's going in the third round, 28th overall.
Oh.
And whoa. Fantasy Pros, I think I'm looking at non-PPR. He's going 25th or 28th overall. RB12, that's non-PPR. So where should Kenyon Drake go? Do you think if he's going at the end of round two, beginning of round three in a 12-team league, is that too late for Drake?
I would take him a little bit higher, I think, but I think it's reasonable. I mean, he's 26 and he hasn't been ever like a fantasy stud. We're projecting out a lot from the late season stretch. And I know Towers in his Arizona Cardinals team preview, and we have a lot of great team previews up on the site that we should probably plug at some point. But We just released them all this
Chris
week.
Wrote that one?
Chris wrote that one.
All right, let's
one,
plug it. He... Let's plug it, Heath. Read Chris's story on the on the Arizona. I always plug Chris's stuff, never Heath's. Oh. It's running joke.
He took Drake as his bus. We did a sleeper breakout and bus for each. We did a key quote and Heath's projections and our rankings and all the key information that you need to know about, you know, vacated opportunity, which Heath has compiled for us. A lot of great stuff in all these team previews. He picked Drake as his bust, and part of it, he pointed out that Drake, even when he was really great with Arizona late last year, it was a lot of that was two games, and he had six touchdowns in two games.
True.
And I think over 300 rushing yards in those two games, and then only hit like 70 yards in one of his other, you know, seven or eight games with Arizona. We do know that the Arizona offense will produce running back points, so that's a good thing. Like Chase Edmonds had the three touchdown game, big game in New York, and David Johnson prior to that was scoring a lot. Wasn't as efficient as a rusher, but was catching plenty of passes out of the backfield. The concern with Drake for me, we talked about on the slot show, was that Edmonds played out of the slot a ton. David Johnson played out of the slot a ton. And they drafted Eno Benjamin, who has a great receiving track record out of Arizona State, and I think could also be a pass catching back. They didn't use Drake out of the slot a ton, even though he did have a good track record as a receiver at Alabama and at Miami as well. He wasn't as involved as a receiver last year, so that's got to improve.
I think we've talked about how talent and opportunity are two different things and two different factors in fantasy football. And when it comes down to it, opportunity is more important because talented players sit on the sidelines all the time. They can't get you fantasy points unless they're on the field getting the opportunities. And I think Drake is going to be proof of opportunity being more important than talent in that he's the lead guy in this backfield. Last year, I know Edmonds is going to have a role, but last year there wasn't a game. There might have been one game where a second running back had more than six touches for Arizona. So when they have a lead back, they have a lead back. But there's no doubt he's inconsistent. You talked about how Chris mentioned that there were two games where he was on fire. He got a third of his rushing yards on eight carries in Arizona. I mean, it's kind of baffling that he can have these big breakout runs and then he averages below 4 yards per carry, well below 4 yards per carry on his other runs outside of that. So there's a boom bust flavor to him, but the fact that he's going to get a lot of work and it's in an offense that should be very good, that should get fantasy managers excited. I do think he has a chance to total 1,500 yards this year. That puts him in the second tier for me. I wouldn't expect him to catch a ton of passes, but I would expect him to be pretty useful. And, you know, the Dolphins did not utilize him very much at all. There were only three games where he had 15 plus carries in Miami. He's already had four with Arizona.
First off, I agree with the emailer. I would take Kenyon Drake ahead of Joe Mixon. Second, I don't think Kenyon Drake is necessarily an opportunity over talent guy because I believe he's very talented. And the two times that a team has treated him like anything close to a feature back, he's been a top 10 back for that stretch. And he only had two good games thing. He had three games with over 100 yards rushing. He had another game where he had 83 total yards and a touchdown. So, and he had another game where he caught six passes, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yeah, I was just kind of sharing the counter. I have him RB8 ahead of Mixon as well.
It was not two games. It was three games.
Right, 83 yards and a touchdown and three catches is a good game for a running back.
Yeah. All right. So he had three huge games. He had one very good game. He had four pretty bad games. Although two of those bad games, he did have six catches. So not that
bad.
PPR,
I think he only had two bad games.
That's fair. Well, he had 9 points, 7 points, and 9 points. I'd say three bad games.
Okay.
I focus on team a ton too, though, and this is a small sample, and we know the rest of the season for Arizona, as I noted, Chase Edmonds had a great game. David Johnson was productive, even while he wasn't playing well. This is an offense with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray that seems advantageous for running back scoring.
Yes. Sure.
If you draft Drake, get Edmonds later. Like, I think that I think he's one of the good handcuffs to get.
And I would say, even if you don't draft Drake, get Edmonds later.
Arizona running backs, David Johnson, weeks 1 through 6, top 7 running back. Chase Edmonds, weeks 7 and 8, top 7 running back. Of course, that was one huge game and one terrible game. Kenyon Drake, weeks 9 through 17, number 4 running back in fantasy. So they were all top 7 running backs in their, you know, short windows where they were the feature guy for Arizona. Okay, coming up, how can a guy who's never seen The Sopranos and hates The Wire actually give you a top five list of one-hour TV dramas? Because he's the host of the show, and that's coming up next. And that's not just my list, by the way. We're all giving lists. And then we've got more emails, more of your questions on Apple Podcasts coming right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It is Top 5 Friday, the first ever. And I asked people on Facebook, what should we debate? Top 5. What should we do a top 5 list of? And one-hour TV dramas became the winner. So who wants to go first? Ben, you want to go first? It's your birthday.
Oh, I was golfing today. I didn't really okay. take great notes. I want to try to see if I want to steal from the other guys.
All right. Dave, do you want to go first? It's Ben's birthday.
I think it's hysterical that we're going to do a top five TV dramas list where one of us barely watches TV. That's me. One of us hasn't watched The Sopranos. That's Adam. I don't know how much TV Heath and Ben watch to help cover this list, but I kind of think it's hilarious that we're doing this.
Oh yeah,
I don't even have five TV shows on my list. I only have four.
Dave,
yeah,
I'll go first. I'm telling you, I will listen, go first.
You want me to BS it?
Heath's going first.
Steal one off Adam or I's list, because like we need to all have a top five.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
I'm being honest.
I have about seven. All right, okay. I just want to make sure I don't miss one. I watch a lot of TV.
That's good.
I have 12.
12. Wow.
Okay. So do you want my list just to get it out of the way?
No, you don't have a complete list. So just listen to Heath's and steal one from Heath, and then we'll go to you, okay?
So I have my
top five. I'm not going to steal a show that I've never watched.
you have seen several of the shows that we're going to say. You've just forgotten about TV shows, Dave, because TV has existed for a long time, and there was a point in your life where you watched more TV than you currently do. So the top five TV shows in the first division: CSI, NCIS, Criminal Minds, CSI in Miami, and Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, in the non-CBS division, those are obviously the top five best.
Yeah, yeah. I had the same list.
You had the same top five.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
The non-CBS division, I've got Mad Men number one.
Oh, that's good. I forgot about Mad Men.
Breaking Bad number two.
See, I don't think it's a top five show for me.
Friday Night Lights, number three. Homeland, number four. And Stranger Things, number five.
I had Stranger Things an honorable mention.
I have a confession to make. As a football analyst, it seems a little unsmart. And my wife loves it. Never watched Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, me either. I saw the movie.
I never.
The
really
TV
liked
show
football
is
shows.
So much better.
I always thought football shows were so poorly done. In fiction,
this is an excellent show that also happens to have football in it.
Everyone says that. Yeah, my brother's a big football fan. He says that, and I still have never gotten around.
And it's so bingeable. Like you can binge it. Just watch it now. I think it's still on Netflix.
Interesting. Okay, I've never seen Mad Men. So I've never seen The Sopranos. I've never seen Mad Men. This is ridiculous.
Watched one of the shows that Heath mentioned. He dropped the names of 12 shows, and I've watched one of them.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Is that on your
list? All
right,
I'll give you mine now because I think Heath filled it out. Ozark has to be on it.
Are you going 5-1?
People don't like how Game of Thrones ended.
You got to rank them, Ben. You can't just say them.
What's
you
number one?
Number one is Game of Thrones. People don't like how Game of Thrones ended. I just want to be. This is not just a TV advice. This is not just applicable to fantasy football. This is life advice. Expectations determine how you feel about things. Game of Thrones set expectations so high, but a huge part of how they got there was because of how sprawling the world that they created was and how all their characters were doing all these different things. They had to bring them all back into one place at one point. It was destined to fail in some way or another. I hate the way they treated the White Walkers and how all that finished, like after they built it up over all those seasons. But at least they tied most of the characters, you know, arcs with bows, and it was a bad ending, but you can't discount how high, like the reason we all hated the ending so much is because of how high they set the bar for so many years. That show was so good.
You're right, Ben.
So many years.
They should have treated the evil flesh eating zombies better.
They probably should have.
For two.
Game of Thrones, Wire is two. Wire is awesome. I struggled with season two, like a lot of people. Season three, probably my favorite season of television. I know it's like a cliche one, but it's that good. And I didn't watch that until a couple of years ago. I watched it way after it was dated and all the technology was dated, and it was still amazing. I'm going to put Ozark at three. It's still going on its run. I think it's the best show currently on TV. It is so good. I'm going to take from Heath and use Mad Men, and I guess I'll maybe put that four. And I'm going to put Better Call Saul on this list. I think it's better than Breaking Bad easily.
You better start a thread right now of Ben Gretsch bad takes. That is worse than anything I've ever said, ever. Better Call Saul, better than Breaking Bad.
That's not even like a rare take. There's a lot of people that have made that take.
The worst take of FFT history. You are out of the intro.
How about just we'll do a Twitter poll first.
Okay.
And then honorable mentions for The Americans, which I just finished. I really, really liked. I just didn't think it was good enough. I'll put Breaking Bad as an honorable mention. I almost was thinking about adding Man in the High Tower just because I'm a history buff, and I thought that was a really interesting show. I didn't really like where they went with everything, but
you liked it so much you got the name of it wrong.
Man in the High Tower. What is
Man
it?
Man in the High Castle.
Ah! Man in the High Castle. Which what a very good show.
It is. Well, all right. It's all right.
Is that on your top five, Dave?
They're in my top five. They're in my top four because it's one of the shows that I've actually watched in the last 15 years.
All right, Dave, unveil your top four.
Sopranos is number one for me. It's so rewatchable. It's so great. Amazing characters, layers to every single one. And you didn't know who was going to die each week. Made it fun and compelling. Number two for me is The Walking Dead. It's not nearly as good now as it was 3 or 4 years ago. I think the early seasons are definitely rewatchable. I like that show a lot. Stranger Things is third for me. And Man in the High Castle is fourth. These are also the only one-hour drama shows that I've seen in the last 15 years.
Okay. My list. I think you guys know what number one is for me, right? I say it all the time. My favorite show ever. Remember?
It's a police show.
Yeah.
Not on I think CBS. It's on FX.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know the name of it.
The Shield.
Shield. Okay.
Shield's number one.
Not about like the superheroes. It's like a police officer shield.
Correct. Thing. Correct.
Okay.
The Shield, Breaking Bad 2, Game of Thrones 3. You have the wrong Narcos on your list. You have the wrong Netflix show on your list, Ben. It's Narcos is actually slightly better than Ozark.
What was your third one? I'm sorry.
Game of
Narcos
Thrones.
Narcos is good, but not better than Ozark.
I think it is, but Narcos Mexico, I'm not counting. I'm counting the three seasons of the Columbia edition.
The Columbia one was great.
Yeah.
Not better. And also,
I like it better than Ozark.
Like, it's a drama, but it's like based on a true story. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not better than Ozark, but okay. What's five?
Five is The Leftovers. And I'm just going to say it's the most unique show I've ever seen. It doesn't.
So nobody said Lost. I've never seen Lost. Are gonna be mad about that. Yeah, I didn't really like Lost.
The three that I probably need to see are Lost, Sopranos, and Mad Men. The ones that I want to try again are The Wire. And Shameless is great, by the way, but I've never seen it like start to finish. Better Call Saul, I kind of gave up on after three seasons. I want to pick it up again.
Oh, you know so well that Breaking Bad is better than Better Call Saul, but you haven't actually watched Better Call Saul.
I've seen 75% of it.
Three episodes.
Such an age of tech. See, I'm not going to comment on Sopranos, which I started a couple years ago, and I only got into like season two. I can't say it's bad. It just didn't keep me, and I didn't stick with it. I'll probably go back to it at some point. I'm not going to sit here and say Sopranos bad just because I didn't get into the show.
Better Call Saul was bad. I just said it's not better than Breaking Bad.
You didn't watch it.
I watched three seasons. I watched a lot of it. All right. Dexter, honorable mention. Sons of Anarchy. Stranger Things. Billions is great. Magic City. I only saw one of the two seasons. Magic City season one is as good as anything I've seen. But I recommend The Leftovers. It's unique. It's not one of those shows where people have to die for it to be good, which I think is kind of a lost art these days. So give it a shot. It's on HBO.
Oh, you said Billions. I haven't seen that one yet, but it reminded me of Succession, which I do like.
Oh, I heard very good things. Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you, guys. Good stuff.
I've almost got the consensus top five.
Okay. Done. All right. Well, I'll keep talking. You can figure it out. Emails.
I believe it is Breaking Bad, right. Game of Thrones, Mad Men, Sopranos, and The Shield.
Wait, what?
No.
Is it just The Shield?
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. You guys both.
Stranger Things is fourth. And so we'll put The Sopranos fifth.
The Wire. None of you guys had The Wire. The Wire is the
boring version of The Shield. If you really want,
yes, you stopped during season two and never went to season three.
Season one.
We're not supposed to just keep watching bad shows. Yeah, like, who does that? I tried Game of Thrones.
Everyone says The Wire is amazing, and this is why I stuck with it because it is slow at the beginning. But if everyone says it's amazing, then you watch it.
Yeah, that sounds like that's what Chris Towers tries to tell me about Parks and Rec.
Oh, it's
only
so funny.
Everybody agrees. The first season is awful. You just have to get through the awful first season. I don't want to watch.
You don't even have to watch the first season.
It's awful.
The first season, six episodes, I think. So there's that. You don't even have to watch it. You can clearly just skip season one. Parks and Rec is awesome. You're right, Ben. I do want to give The Wire another shot. I was so bored. Watching six episodes, I was like, what is the hubbub? But all right, I'll give it another shot.
Season three is where you're like, all right, this is amazing.
And season two of The Shield is where, that's the thing. You got to come strong in season two. I can sit through one okay season. Two seasons? Give me a break.
But like, that's the thing about Homeland, and you gave up on it after one bad season, I believe, which is season three. The first season of Homeland might be the greatest season in television history.
I mean, it's great. It's really up
there. It's incredible. Yeah. Second one's good. And then it goes through a one season lull, and then it has a phenomenal finish.
Just don't like Carrie.
You give up on things is the problem.
Yeah, I do. I have a lot of shows out there. Ever since I quit soccer when I was like 7 years old, I realized that giving up is so smart. You don't do the things that you don't want to do, and you move on to better things that are more fun.
That's we have preliminary results with 444 votes in. Breaking Bad receiving 66% of the vote. In second place, See Results at 21%. And in third place, Better Call Saul at 13%.
Okay. All right, here we go.
I didn't get the Breaking Bad hype, man. It was good. I really liked it. I binged it. But I will say your point about slow starts or bad first seasons, for anyone who hasn't seen Game of Thrones and might worry about that, Game of Thrones, that's another reason it's so great. Just starts hot and stays hot.
You're right. Comes out swinging. And the thing is, I don't think it's the best show ever because I think at times it sort of resorts to – there's a funny like Andy Samberg skit on SNL about it where it's just like nudity, murder. You know, it's like here's kind of a boring episode. Well, let's – decapitate someone, you know, it kind of resorts to that. So I don't think it's the best, but it is the one that I recommend. Like if you said what's one show that you have to watch, Game of Thrones is the most fun show that I've ever seen and visually very appealing. So watch it. Okay. Now let's talk football. Emails part two. All right, you brought up on a couple podcasts, this is from Lewis, the issue of what happens if one of your players will be ruled out last minute due to COVID-19. Can you address ideas as to who would win the league if the season is cut short, like NBA or NHL? Say there was a second wave and they just stopped the season. What do you do, Dave?
I think win total will determine your winner. Pretty simple, right?
Points total or win total?
Everyone won their money back.
Your champion. Well, if you don't want to do that, hold on. If it's week 12 and we've been playing fantasy football for, a dozen weeks already, you're just going to cancel everything that's been done and give everybody their money back?
Yes.
Not crown a champion?
Well, in our leagues, at week 12, no one's actually paid yet. So it's going to be hard to collect.
Depends on who the commissioner is.
This is tough, but we actually had it happen in our XFL league, and it was easy enough there because I believe it was Jamie who won. He had the most wins and the most points, and it was like, all right, he won. But sometimes it's not going to be as clear and stuff.
It should be most wins.
Or that one league where I got so many points and then everybody quit. The multi-sport thing.
Omnifantasy.
Yeah. Did I ever get my points?
Your fake points for college basketball when they didn't play the tournament?
All right. Okay, guys,
that's
let's
worse
move
than
on.
Azar's poker win when he
they were the consensus
the
number one. I will guarantee you there's a banner hanging from Allen Field House at some point in the future. They will claim that championship.
And I can guarantee you that NCAA is going to take it away. All right, moving on. Dustin from Miami. Dear Steve, Kerry, Vince, and Ryan. This one we should get. Steve, Kerry, Vince, and Ryan.
I got it. Titans quarterbacks.
You got it.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm in the final year of a 10-team non-PPR keeper league that resets after every third season. We keep two players from the round they were drafted in. I'm drafting eighth. So I'm keeping Davante Adams in the third round. Who should my second keeper be? Kamara in the first. This is non-PPR. Kamara in the first, Eckler in the fifth, or Drake in the sixth?
I love all the detail in this email. I think it helps determine that Kamara is the pick. I know it's not as good a value as Eckler or Drake, but you've got Alvin Kamara for a long time.
This is the final year.
It's just 1 year.
Really?
Just 1 year.
Yeah.
Then I read it.
Did you read any of the details, Dave?
I know. I resets after every third season.
I'm in the final year of a 10 team.
That's actually why I would take Kamara. I'm going to go the other way from Dave is that sometimes it's great to have these later values that maybe you can hold for multiple seasons, but I don't mind throwing them away because, you don't have multiple, like Eckler in the fifth could end up being great for multiple seasons.
Right. But, and then you can't keep them anyway.
Yeah.
Like, this could be the difference though, between what Drake and I think I'd go Drake. Like there's a big difference between who you're going to get in the first and sixth in this league.
But yeah, there's going to be so many keepers out of the pool. Yeah. You got to remember the first is more like the third, right, and the sixth is more like the eighth.
That's a big difference.
That makes me want Kamara. Kamara will probably be the number one pick in the redraft portion, and you're not going to get him back.
This dude will have two first-round picks and a second-round pick in this league that he can't keep after this year, now that I've read everything. I'm sticking with it. Kamara is who you keep.
Drake.
Okay, two Kamaras and a Drake. This is Steve in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Our draft allows us to keep one player from the sixth round on for the following season. It's 14 rounds. It's PPR. It's one QB. All right. He's got some tough choices here. Who are you keeping? Austin Eckler in the sixth. This is PPR. Eckler in the sixth. DJ Moore in the seventh. Kyler Murray in the 12th. Or Kareem Hunt in the 14th.
Moore. Next question.
Eckler.
Get out of here.
What he doesn't say is, can you keep more again the following year? Or maybe he says it and I just didn't read it. I read the email twice.
No,
can
he
you
didn't.
Keep more again because he's
no,
at
1 round. Year. 1 year.
How do you know that?
Because you get to keep one player from the sixth round on for the following season.
It's more Eckler, right?
I agree.
It has to be. So we
probably got to be Eckler.
All right. Dave's breaking the ties, going Eckler. This is from Kevin. Dear Nick, Ron, Randall, and Donovan.
Eagles quarterbacks.
Eagles.
Mm-hmm. I've got quite the stable of wide receivers in my PPR 12-team dynasty league. I've got Hopkins, Tyreek, Davante Adams, Julio Jones, and Chris Godwin.
Wow. Congratulations.
We start two wide receivers and two flex spots, so each week I need to decide which of these guys to sit. Which wide receiver should I trade, and what kind of value can I expect in return? No one wants Julio because he's, quote, old for Dynasty.
Trade Hopkins.
Then I trade Hopkins, yep.
Right. That's the first guy I would try and move. See what you can get for him. If you can get a good deal for him, then move him.
And the second guy, and this is going to be a little weird, but if you can't get much for Hopkins, it would be Godwin for me. And I understand he's the youngest and your future, but this team already has an old core. You have a narrow window. And I think Godwin's the one that's maybe a little bit overvalued. As much as I really do like him, I just think so much has changed in Tampa that I think there's a lot of a positive expectation, and you can get a lot out of him. You could get a really good running back out of him, I think.
Would you at least consider seeing what you could get for Davante Adams?
Sure. Yeah. He's 27 too. I wouldn't mind moving him.
Okay. What are we getting for them though? Like, is Joe Mixon enough?
He has Mixon.
No, I would want. He does. Mixon's on a contract year. Mixon, might hold out, and we don't know what his next contract's going to be. He's not a guy I'm targeting in Dynasty.
I would. And this is going to just make Ben furious, but I would trade DeAndre Hopkins for Austin Eckler.
You think Eckler's got
something
like
extra with him?
You think Eckler's got like a long term?
He's got. He's just signed a 4-year deal.
We've never seen him as a feature back.
Yeah, I don't know if the person who has Eckler would do that deal.
I think you could get Eckler plus.
They'd have to be rich at running back.
Can we just be clear on his 4-year deal? He's already 25. And it's not a monster deal. It's a good deal, but it could easily mean that if he doesn't carry the load well, that he ends up being the second piece of a committee like he was with Gordon. And it could mean that for 2020, for all we know. Yeah. Right? I think he's overvalued in Dynasty. He could very easily in 2021 be back to like a change of pace role.
But he could also break out even more in 2020.
Sure, he could. And he very well
carry value for the next 3 years, which is what I would hope for if I had Eckler in Dynasty.
I mean, that's why I was saying Godwin, though. I think you could try and get like Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I was going to say Miles Sanders. I don't know how everybody views him. I know on this podcast we're a little higher on him. But I think I would trade any single one of these wide receivers for Miles Sanders. That would be the first thing I'd try to do. I think Ben would be with me on that. I don't know about David Heath. But yeah, that's.
I would not trade Tyreek or Adams for Sanders.
I would probably trade Adams, but I wouldn't trade Tyreek. He's still a little younger.
I wouldn't trade Godwin either.
Yeah. I think all three of those guys would be hard sells. Adams might be most likely.
I'll probably draft Godwin over Sanders in Dynasty, so that's fair. I mean, that's a good point.
Okay. All right. This is from No Name. Dear Derek, Bruce, Travis, and Gene. I'll figure it out. How do you feel about the friendship strategy for the running back position? I feel there are some interesting opportunities this year to make this work, especially with the rookie running back class this year and the possibility of them being behind where they usually are in a normal season. Oh, these are Lees. Derek Lee, Bruce Lee, Travis Lee, and Dream Lee? What the hell is that? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Interesting.
Yeah. You don't know who Gene Lee is?
I don't know who Travis Lee is.
I was thinking Derek Thomas and Bruce Smith and trying to think of sack guys for Travis.
I was thinking,
Gene.
Oh God, you I was don't want to know. Derek Henry and Travis Henry.
Huh.
I don't know Bruce Henry.
I'm not reading this question.
Friendship strategy for running back is fine if they're late round guys. I mean, I think there's certainly some opportunities, like you said. Miami is maybe one, Tampa Bay is maybe one, where you can get two guys in like the 7th and 8th round that are both. Ideally, one of them will emerge as a every week starter.
You could do it with the 49ers too. You invest in Mostert. Hopefully, it doesn't cost you a top 50 pick. Probably not even a top 60 pick, but you get Mostert. Not a lot of people are hot on the trail of Tevin Coleman, and you have both those guys on your team. That's a team that loves to run the football.
Bills are another one. Singletary and Moss.
Bills are a great one.
Yeah.
Heath, we really should have remembered Travis Lee, baseball player. Played for Tampa Bay.
I remember his rookie card.
Philadelphia.
Derek Lee's a first baseman too. They're both first basemen, right? In baseball?
Bruce Lee was a shortstop, right?
Gene Lee was a famous murderer. I just Googled.
Yeah.
So
I Googled it too. Yeah.
All right. Here's one from James. Dear Charlie, D, Dennis, and Mac. Sunny. From the UK here. 10 team super flex PPR league, 6 point per passing touchdown. Deshaun Watson as a keeper for a 7th round pick. He has that. McCaffrey has been kept for the 8th overall pick and Saquon for the second overall pick. I have the fourth pick in the draft. If he's still on board, would you take Patrick Mahomes? Or should I go with one of the remaining top running backs? So he's not going to get Barkley or McCaffrey. It's a super flex. He already has Deshaun Watson. It's PPR. It's 10 teams. Would you take Patrick Mahomes or an elite running back?
Take Mahomes.
I always like to have a lineup that is a differentiator the smaller my league gets. And I think 10 is small enough. Where if you've got Mahomes and Deshaun Watson starting every single week, you should have a pretty sweet edge over the rest of the league.
This is from Luke. No penalty for the round they're drafted. Who do you pick between Deshaun Watkins, Josh Jacobs, and DeAndre Hopkins?
Deshaun Watkins. I don't even know who that is.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Shoot. Deshaun Watson, Josh Jacobs, and DeAndre Hopson.
Jacobs and Hopkins.
Yep.
Okay. And Garrett Tuck is in a 12-team half PPR dynasty league. Give up Miles Sanders. What? Give up Miles Sanders, Tariq Cohen, Michael Gallup, and a 2021 first-round pick. Better get a lot back. All right. Miles Sanders, Tariq Cohen, Michael Gallup, and a 2021 first-round pick. Get back Alvin Kamara and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Fair. It's a lot, but I really like Kamara and Juju.
Yeah, I'm updating the trade chart tomorrow. I don't think that I would probably do that.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really close. It's just
you gotta have Kamara over Sanders, and you gotta have Juju over Gallup, and by a lot, and maybe by a first.
The thing about Kamara, though, is how concerned are we about this being Drew Brees' last year? And it also could be Kamara's last year with the Saints. It's possible.
Sure. But, like, would you take Miles Sanders over him in a startup draft?
No.
No.
But I just want to bring that up.
I think it's closer than it sounds in redraft. I agree with you, Adam.
And it could look.
I think
it could
the
be
only way you win on the Sanders side is if you nail the 2021 first with a wide receiver. And there's going to be good wide receivers in next year's class, but you can already get Juju, who even if he doesn't pan out with the Steelers and they trade him or he signs another contract somewhere else, he's going to have good appeal on that second team.
I might just be higher on Gallup than you guys.
Yeah.
I think Juju.
Gallup's very good, but Juju is as much as he had a bad year last year, he's one of my favorite dynasty buys this offseason. He's still only, 23 until November. Late November. He's already done so much in his career at this point, and he was very good in college as well. There's almost like no track record for a guy being as good as he was, as young as he was, and as good as he was in college, and then suddenly not being good anymore. Like, there is a track record for guys having a blip like he did last year and then coming back and being good again. Like, Amari Cooper is a guy that comes to my mind immediately. He was very good early in his career, very good in college, and then struggled a little bit with Oakland. And as soon as he went to Dallas, he was very good again.
I'm interested to know track record of players who, like, the best way to say this. You got Kamara potentially with no Brees. You've got, I don't know, a possibility that Ben Roethlisberger isn't on the Steelers next year. Maybe he retires. I don't know. He's getting up there. Track record of really good players that no longer are playing with great quarterbacks. So
as far as
any guy playing with an aging quarterback, you know, who Peyton Manning really was not good when he retired. He had a horrible final season. Like Beckham. Beckham goes from having one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to Baker Mayfield. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I don't know. I'm trying to say, like, how does the dynasty value for Michael Thomas? How is Michael Thomas's value affected by the possibility that Drew Brees isn't playing? And before you say, well, look what he did with Teddy Bridgewater, I feel very strongly that if he had played a full season with Teddy Bridgewater, he would not have put up the same numbers, even though the pace was very similar to what he did for the full season, because it was one game against Tampa Bay where he went berserk. And other than that, you know, he was great, but he wasn't the same as what he was with Drew Brees. So I don't know how you consider that in dynasty leagues and if that's a big factor for you.
That's Thomas, who had one game where he went berserk.
So no, he was really good with Bridgewater, but it was boosted by the one game against the Bucks. I think the stat was He played six games with Bridgewater. He had 100 yards in two of them. He played 10 games with Breeze. He had 100 yards in eight or nine of them. So he, even though the pace was very similar with Bridgewater, with Breeze, I believe that if they had kept playing out the season and he didn't just have that one big game against Tampa Bay, it would have been pretty different. Still great, but pretty different. Does that make sense?
Yep. I was just going to say Kamara was a lot almost better as a receiver with Bridgewater, which I thought was really interesting. He had, like, I think three, like, eight catch games. Or maybe it's four. I'm actually looking at his game log now. No, the last one came after Breeze came back. But
the overall question is, how much do you downgrade a wide receiver in dynasty?
Yeah,
you know what,
I think it's situation specific. I think you're right about Thomas. And I think for Kamara, I'm less concerned recognizing that Sean Payton's system still operated very similarly with the high target rate to running backs. And maybe that was just Bridgewater, who's similar with the underneath throwing. And maybe it wouldn't be the same with a guy like Jameis or like with Taysom. But the fact that Kamara was getting so many targets still, I felt like he could still be productive in a way that I do agree with your take that you extrapolate Thomas to a full season. He's not the same guy, but I actually think that Kamara might be.
All right. So this question on Apple Podcasts now, Ken B 7891, dynasty help needed. Hey, Tommy, Cordell, Tommy, and Ben. Oh, Terry, Cordell, Tommy, and Ben.
That's Steelers QB.
Yeah, what's going on? This is a very strange theme today. Should I draft a running back or a wide receiver with the third pick of my rookie draft? I have Miles Sanders, Austin Eckler, Mostert, and David Johnson. I have Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, Robert Woods, and Emmanuel Sanders. Wow, it's really good. Who would you take, a running back or a wide receiver?
I would take a running back.
Which one?
Well,
assume it goes Edwards-Helaire and Taylor. Who are you taking?
Dobbins. For the long-term appeal that he has in Baltimore.
That's my pick, too.
Now, if you're just dead set on taking a receiver, trade back a couple of spots.
Okay. This is from Neil J. Love the show. I'm relatively new to fantasy football, but your show helped me catch up quickly. Question, should I trade Calvin Ridley for Raheem Mostert and Jerry Jeudy in a half PPR dynasty league? I lack running back depth. So give up Ridley, get Mostert and Jerry Jeudy.
No.
I wouldn't either.
All right. This is from the Dread Pirate Roberts from a town west of St. Denis. Don't know.
Seattle.
Great. Sure.
It's west of everything.
Hey, Troy, Abed, Jeff, and Annie. Another
That's
underrated
community
show.
And I haven't even watched that.
It's a good one. I'm the commissioner of a 14-team PPR league where you can keep one player from the previous year in the round they were drafted, provided you drafted them and kept them on your roster the entire season. You can keep the same player multiple years in a row, but the round you take them goes up exponentially. This year, I'm picking 14th in my PPR draft. I can keep McCaffrey in the first or Kittle in the ninth, and I'm at an absolute loss. This is McCaffrey's last year of keeper eligibility. Woo! McCaffrey in the first, 14th overall, or Kittle in the ninth?
McCaffrey.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably right.
It's just so hard to lose with him. Like, he's so good.
All right, and Coach Papo says, would love to hear more auction talk. I'd like to hear your ideal auction teams based on a $200 budget. So here's what we're going to do. Even better, Coach. We're going to do an episode pretty soon. We're just going to do an auction on the air. We're just going to record it, and you'll listen to it, and hopefully you'll love it. We've done it for baseball. It's been really fun. The listeners really liked it, so we're going to do it for football. And can't wait. Whew. All right, Ben. Big birthday plans?
No, actually, not really. The golf was the big plans. I'm sure my kids and wife have plenty more ways to spoil me.
Mexican food? I'm feeling like maybe you should get Mexican food.
Why?
That's what I do on my birthday, typically.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Yeah, like we've done that before, too. I just was wondering, like,
it's
a
festive,
I told you that I like
Mexican food. Food. Yeah, no. It's celebratory food.
It is. It's good for that. That's true.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it. It's been a fun week. We got 5 episodes for you next week. We'll talk to you on Monday. For Dave, for Heath and Ben, I'm Adam. See ya.
Thank you. When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.